Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches on the subject of a sound mind, with part one of this message entitled, Medicine for Mental Health. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Genesis chapter 6. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
Heavenly Father, before you sought us and found us and saved us, we were enemies of God in our minds. We had a depraved, twisted mind. And we thank you for straightening it out. You have granted us sound mind to think God's thoughts after him. And to will God's will. And to feel the way God feels, hating sin and loving righteousness. Lord, we pray this morning that you seek and find and save people with a twisted, depraved mind. Grant them sound mind to think your thoughts according to your word. It is your sovereign purpose to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Grant us the mind of Christ. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now you observed Mr. Obama giving an answer to the question last night in a church, what are you going to do about 40 million babies who were killed in this country? 40 million infants. And he said, that question is beyond my pay grade, beyond my ability to answer. That is called depraved mind. We have people of depraved mind in this nation, justices, magistrates, governors, and so on. Parents, pastors with depraved mind. So this morning I want to speak to you about sound mind. From 1st and 2nd Samuel, sound mind. Someone has said, man is mind. When the mind is gone, man is gone. So I want to speak to you about first depraved mind, then sound mind. Then I want to illustrate both depraved mind and sound mind. And as you hear what I preach, think whether you have a depraved mind or a sound mind. God has created man with a good mind. A good mind. What is a good mind? A good mind thinks God's thoughts after him and interprets reality correctly. He worships and serves God, who is creator of all. He thinks God's thoughts, he wills God's will, he hates evil and loves good. He lives in God's presence in all spiritual blessings. He is a blessed man. This was the situation of man until he sinned. Until, friends, he failed to think God's thoughts. Until he failed to live by faith in God's word. Adam and Eve sought independence from God and so lost their sound mind by unbelief and disobedience. And you will read that in Genesis chapter 3, 4 through 7. So, the fallen man, every single one, has a depraved, twisted mind. It is so depraved, it is pervasively twisted and sinful. Genesis 6 and verse 5 tells us the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And Genesis 8 verse 21, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood." This fall from perfection brought him a depraved, a twisted mind. And we studied that in our treatment of Romans. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 28. "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, twisted mind." Romans 3 and verse 11, we read, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands anything, understands first God and then creation. He is wrong as he interprets everything. He is wrong. No one understands reality truly. No one understands God truly. That's why idolatry is plenty in the world and false religions everywhere." Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. "For if when we were God's enemies," and this enmity is first, is manifested in our mind. We are enemies of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, "The sinful mind is hostile to God." And you know, as a result, you must, that such a man hates the Bible, hates Jesus Christ, hates infinite personal triune God. He hates it. And you talk to your mother, your father, your friends, your relatives, every day you will see how hateful they are in reference to God and therefore God's word. And Jesus Christ tells us in Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 20, he went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts." Number one, evil thoughts, twisted thoughts, and then every other evil. But first, evil thoughts. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And now you understand why a sinner refuses to understand the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The man without the Spirit," an unbeliever, "is one without the Holy Spirit, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, And verse 4, we are told the god of this age, that is the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Blinded the minds of the unbelievers for the purpose that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan deliberately working in the minds of unbelievers, blinded them so that they will not believe the gospel and be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Since the fall of Adam, every man became twisted in his mind. I say man lost his mind. He fails to think God's thoughts after him. He fails to interpret any reality correctly. He cannot interpret the reality of a flower, say morning glory. He cannot interpret it correctly as witnessing to the glory of God and the wisdom of God. His mind has become pervasively evil. He has become an enemy of God in his mind. He has become crazy. He exists because of sheer God's common grace. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 28. What happens to a sinner and what happens to a violator of God's covenant? The Lord will afflict you with madness. You call it mental health and anything else you want to call it. Blindness and confusion of mind. Chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, verse 4, but to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. It's a divine judgment. So point number two, sound mind. How then can man be straightened out in his mind, in his thinking? To think once again God's thoughts after him, to delight in the word of God. As he read in Psalm 119, which celebrates the word of God. How can twisted man in his mind be straightened out? To man it is impossible. People believed in the perfectibility of man. That is utter foolishness. Man cannot perfect himself. Europe and some people in this country, we believe that we can talk with everybody. Just have more conferences. And everybody will come to see that it is wonderful to live in love. He believes in the perfectibility, round table talk. You foolish man, don't you understand the League of Nations and the United Nations? And these do not accomplish anything. Man is wicked at the depth of his being. But with God, all things are possible. Why do you think your kid doesn't want to listen to you? Doesn't want to listen to God? Doesn't want to do anything? Utterly rebellious and stubborn. Why do you think it is? Well, understand this. Depraved mind. So without regeneration, man cannot see or enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said. He must be born again, born from above by the direct action of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous action of the Holy Spirit. He must experience resurrection from the dead. So turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, notice, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. And verse 22, you were taught, that is the people of God, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, friends, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We understand the gospel because of regeneration by the Holy Ghost. And look at verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And look at verse 15, the spiritual man, that is the man who is born of God by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit man makes judgments about all things. He interprets all reality correctly as he sees it through the lens of God's word. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And the last line of verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. Or again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we read verse 4, but look at verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us, notice, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The devil keeps you from seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in the gospel, but the Spirit of God regenerates you and opens your eyes so you will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Our God is almighty and all-powerful. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. 2 Timothy 1, Paul says, you have not received a spirit of timidity, but you have received a spirit of power and love, and King James Version, I like it, and of sound mind, healthy mind, mind that is straightened out, so that you think God's thoughts and read God's word and understand God's word and love God's word and worship God and serve God. Amen. Holy Spirit, sir, Isaiah chapter 11 speaks about Holy Spirit coming upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, spirit of counsel and of power, spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Spirit comes upon. And you see the picture. In Matthew 3, the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove came and rested upon Jesus. And he says in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, he has qualified me to do God's work. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, the Holy Spirit will come and lead you into all truth. He straightens out your mind and he enables you to think straight and understand the will of God and creates in you such a desire to do the will of God and find such happiness and joy in the doing of God's will. Spirit of God regenerates the sinner who has a twisted mind. Friends, I have good news for you. He is able to do it. And He alone is able to straighten out your twisted mind, which is hostile to God. Now his eyes are opened. He sees God. And he sees creation aright. He is no longer an enemy of God in his mind. He fears the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and true knowledge. He repents of his sins. He trusts savingly in Jesus Christ who died for his sins. The Spirit of God permanently indwells him, teaching him God's truth, empowering to live godly lives, and guiding him in the paths of righteousness, and causing him not to be depressed but uplifted, filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, finding true satisfaction and happiness in life here and now. Only the Holy Spirit can straighten out a twisted mind and cause it to understand correctly reality and interpret it correctly. Only the Holy Spirit can enable us to know God and worship Him only. And this true understanding comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ also. Luke 24, you go home and read it. The Lord opened the eyes of those two disciples to Emmaus. The Lord opened the scriptures to them. And we read the Lord opens the minds of God's people to understand the entire Old Testament and the thrust of the entire Old Testament, which is Jesus Christ, that He must die and be raised from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed to all nations. Minds. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you do err, you do go astray, because you do not know the scripture nor the power of God. Matthew 22 and verse 29. And turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 verse 20. And there we read, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Let me read from verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. The Lord gives us understanding. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding, sir. The triune God enables us to know Scripture and gain knowledge of God and the world. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, equipped, qualified to do good works. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Ephesians 5:18, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking the words of God. Turn to Acts chapter 2, this great Pentecostal promise in the Old Testament. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Not their own minds. They will prophesy the mind of God as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Holy Spirit straightens out your mind, sir. He gives you wisdom. His Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It will come and rest on you and straighten out your mind, and all of a sudden we think God's thoughts. We love God's will. We do God's will. Now let me illustrate these depraved minds and sound minds. Look at the devil and demons. They were the first to fall from a state of perfection in which God created them. They have minds that are twisted and depraved because of their moral fall. Their minds remain twisted forever. For them, there is no plan of redemption, a plan of straightening them out. They know God. They believe God exists. They even tremble. But they cannot be saved. To them is reserved everlasting destruction. Number two illustration, look at Saul. You read him in 1 Samuel. God chose him to be the king of Israel. And we are told even the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he prophesied. Yet he remained an unregenerate with a twisted mind. He was incapable of thinking God's thoughts after him, so he would not love his word or obey him. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and look at verse 23. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Verse 26, Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. The Holy Spirit departed. An evil spirit came upon him to see all reality in a twisted way until he committed suicide on the mountains of Gilboa. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Here he is in the home of a witch. Because God abandoned him. God refuses to talk to him. Because he rejected God's revelation to him. Listen to this pathetic statement. 1 Samuel 28, verse 15. I am in great distress. Depressed people in the world, Lord of them, most of them, many of them are depressed because of sin and guilt. I am in great distress, Saul said. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. What a pathetic condition of a backslidden Christian. A pathetic man, a hopeless man, a helpless man, a depressed man, a tormented man, a God-abandoned man who commits suicide. Third, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar. And it was God who exalted him. God exalted him. The Bible clearly says so. And what happened? He became arrogant. He was given several messages from God that he may not become arrogant. It was given to him by Daniel and others, but he became arrogant. He cannot help himself. So Daniel 4:28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty?" And you read the rest. It tells you he became like an animal. You read on, it says he became crazy. And finally, he humbled himself. And look at verse 36, "At that time, that my sanity was restored." God doesn't put up with a twisted mind who hates God. He deals with him severely. Number four is David. Now, I want you to understand, it was God who brought him to the pinnacle of his fame. David was a despised shepherd boy. God exalted him to be the king of Israel. He refused to kill Saul, his enemy, but trusted in God. That was great. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. The key to his success is seen in 1 Samuel 18, verse 28. It says, "The Lord was with David as he was with Joseph." That's the key to success. The Lord is with you in your thinking, in your willing, in your decision making, in your going, in your coming. You will hear a voice from behind. "This is the way, walk in it," to be led by the Spirit of God. And he was led by the Spirit of God. And we see him as a person who is praying, always praying. 1 Samuel 23, 2 Samuel 2, 2 Samuel 5. He's always praying to God. "God, is this what you want me to do?" And God says, "No." All right, he doesn't do it. "Is this what you want me to do?" "Yes." And he does it. And we are told that he had a copy of the Bible and he read it. And he's supposed to have a copy of the Bible and he's supposed to read it daily so that he can judge us king correctly. And we are told the Lord gave him all his victories against all his enemies. 2 Samuel 8. And we are told that David did what was just and right according to God's word. 2 Samuel 8 and verse 15. God gave him a sound mind. And he listened to prophets like Gad, and he obeyed the prophets. What a wonderful life. And he arrives at the pinnacle of his fame as the king of Israel. Sir, listen carefully, friends, and speaking maybe about you. But then came the fall. At the height of his fame, his heart became proud. Listen. Prosperity goes before pride, and pride goes before fall. Look at him. He had great wealth, not one wife, many wives, and then we discover he had many concubines and many children. Tributes from enemies are coming to Jerusalem. So all of a sudden, he refuses to go to war, though the ark of God went to war. And he remains in Jerusalem vacationing when Israel was fighting the Lord's wars. Friends, vacation can be a time of severe temptation. And I have heard so many people committing horrible sin during vacation. And he saw, lusted, and took Bathsheba, a covenant Israelite, committed adultery with her. That means right away he has no interest in the Word of God. He's not praying. He's not worshiping. He's not fellowshipping with God's people. He knew she was the wife of a fellow Israelite. He knew from the scriptures that he should not commit adultery. He knew that. But he has a twisted mind. He refuses to pay heed to God's commandment against adultery. He deceives Uriah. He murders him. He is arrogant. His mind has become twisted and stupid. He refuses to read God's word. He refuses to pray. He refuses to listen to the prophets. And he refuses to worship God. Nathan says, you despised God's word and you despised the Lord. 2 Samuel 12, 9 and 10. Friends, he has lost his mind. His sound mind of the early days lost his first love. The days of poverty and wanderings and prayer. What he sowed brought forth bitter fruit in his children. Listen, Amnon rapes Tamar, yet he refuses to discipline him. He treats the word of God with contempt. But God took action. He killed Amnon. Absalom kills Amnon. And the Bible says you as king and as father must see to it that you kill him. Deuteronomy 21, Exodus 21, Leviticus 20, Deuteronomy 27, all tells you, destroy him, kill him. It's a capital punishment to curse a father, to attack a father, to be a rebel. But he refuses to be the king he ought to be and the father he ought to be. And we are told in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, he loved his children more than God. In other words, he never restrained his children. Never restrained. Is that true of you, friends? Indulging children. Rejecting God and his word and his truth because we worship our kids and grandkids. I turn to 2 Samuel and read this pathetic statement of King David. 2 Samuel 18 and verse 5. Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake. This is no compassion. This is absolute dishonoring of God. This is no compassion. Look at verse 33. There are preachers who will preach from this text the love of God. The king was shaken. He went to the room over the gateway and wept as he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. If only I had died instead of you, oh, Absalom, my son. David, you lost your head. You became twisted. And you will not administer justice, which is your calling. In Luke 14 and Matthew 10, we are told that we must love God more than our children and our own life. God hates idolatry, especially indulging our children, loving them more than God. You ask, why did he not discipline his children? His own sin condemned him. And a lot of people, they have sinned so terribly, they become soft when it comes to discipline their own children because they have the consciousness of this past sin. How can we discipline? How can he discipline his children when he committed adultery, when he deceived and killed his covenant brother? Friends, he lost his moral authority. Yet God meted out justice. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 18. in verse 9. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's head, that's the problem, isn't it? Our problem is the head. And he knows how to take care of head. Got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule, God said to the mule, keep on riding. Keep on riding. Rip off this burden. And look at verse 14 and following. Joab said, I am not going to wait like this for you. So he took, notice, 3 javelins in his hand and plunged them into Absalom's heart. That's his cousin. While Absalom was still alive in the oak tree, and 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him and killed him. We have a view of God, a nice God. I heard Mr. Bush speaking about God is love and God is universal. God is, Mr. Bush, you don't know what God you are talking about. God is holy and God is love. God will mete out justice. May God help us. First, to get a sound mind. And I said, only the Holy Spirit, by His powerful and immediate action of regeneration, your eyes can be opened and your mind can be straightened out. Or you can interpret your problem psychologically and medically and every other way. Go ahead. But the way to deal with it is repentance. And coming back to God. The prodigal son had a twisted mind. He went away, and then we are told he came to himself. His sanity returned by God's mighty action. And if you are a Christian friend, you heard what happened to David. Regeneration is no antidote for disobedience. Use your sound mind. Know the word and be governed by the word. Yes. And get a sounder mind. Yes. Sounder mind. But I'll tell you, when you have the sound mind, when you hear the word of God, when you understand the word of God, when you will the will of God, and when you do the will of God, yes, when you are happy in doing the will of God, I know you have sound mind. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us to have a sound mind that will hear and do your will, that we may become a happy people. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio, part 1 of the sermon entitled Medicine for Mental Health. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthew.